This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn DeGeek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's May 29th, and it's episode 668. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day? Innocuous jibber-jabber.
Well, happy hump day, everybody. It is Wednesday, and we thank you for being here today. Of course, it's the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia Day, which we'll get to in
You're
a
welcome.
While here.
You're welcome.
And I was just going to say, Jamie is still here.
I am. You said thanks for being here. I just had to say you're welcome because it was really difficult this morning. I'm not going to lie.
Well, you're only a week away from your due date, right?
I am. I must let you know that it is officially almost impossible to sleep. And so this morning when my alarm went off, I really had a hard time. Well, first of all, I had a hard time getting out of bed because it's like wheeling a wheelbarrow out of bed. You know, it's like trying to figure out a way to push it up and push it off, you know. So I think officially today is going to be my last day. I'm going on maternity leave after the show.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, I was really surprised to see you here this morning. I really thought I'd be getting a text overnight.
Me too. I thought you would too. I thought you woke up as many times as I did. So I'm gonna be a trooper, and I'm summoning up the rest of the energy that I have in my body for the next hour and a half. And then I'm going to probably go back to bed after I feed.
I was going to say, is there somebody to feed the horses for the next week while you're wallowing around on the couch?
Still me.
Now, this has kind of ruined your husband's plans for extra vacation time, hasn't it?
Well, if we go into labor like today, he'll still have an extra week. But no, it's ticking down. Every day ticks down.
Now, it has to be before the 5th or he's going to end up doing this Canada thing, won't he? Or will he still get out of it?
He was going to have to travel to Canada if I went into labor early.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we're safe there. With that now.
Okay.
Yeah, the problem is, Glenn, my farm sitter, Shannon, who comes over and stays at the house, she's 18 years old. She's so responsible. She's like a little adult. She is out of town until Saturday. I'm like, how can you leave town and not be here? She's like, your due date's on the 5th. So we planned this trip. I'm like, not okay with me. So I'm actually trying to hold off until Saturday because who's going to take care of the farm?
Did you get an extra one of those hold off shots when you were at the hospital last time?
Whew, I know. I have to go in and be like, sorry, you guys. I know I'm in labor right now, but you're going to have to shut this thing down because I don't have anybody to feed until Saturday.
I have horses. You don't understand.
I mean, you don't get it. I mean, unless I'm going to bring them all with me.
Chad, can you go home and feed? I won't have the baby till you get back. It'll be fine.
Oh, my gosh. And we live like 40 minutes from the hospital. So it's just not going to happen if he has to run back and forth.
Well, we're certainly going to miss you. There's no question about that. We're definitely going to miss you here. I'm going to miss you. I've spent the, you know, what, almost every morning for the last 2.5 years with you here. So we do have some people lined up to fill in. Helena from Stable Scoop and Wendy from the driving show and several others are lined up to help fill in while you're out on maternity leave. But we'll look forward to having you back with screaming babies in the background.
Oh, man, that's where Chad. Here, take the baby. Mama's got to go to work.
It'll be your hour and a half reprieve of adult time every day.
Exactly.
Well,
you
can call in for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. Jamie's probably going to be feeling generous and wanting to give away all the prizes, so who knows what will happen. Give us a call at 347-637-3238. That's 347-637-3238. We'll get to that in a minute. And today's show, we have the usuals coming up for you on a Wednesday. We have Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV, who'll be talking about all of the stuff British and Europe. And then we have Michelle Anderson of thehorse.com. It's going to be joined by Dr. Stacy Oak, who has been on the show before, and they're going to be talking about omega fatty acids. So that is coming up on the show today, as well as the Wheel of Trivia. But first, we have our Daily Whinnies. Well, my Daily Whinnie today goes out to a very special group that we've had on the show before, and they've been called into action again. And that is a group called the Gentle Carousel Miniature Therapy Horses. And everybody on Facebook knows this particular group because they are the ones that you see all of the little minis all dressed up out visiting people. Remember them, Jamie? Well,
let me just tell you that when we interviewed them, and you can go back and you can listen to the interview we did with them if you go to Horses in the Morning and just type in Gentle Carousel. Oh my God, they had me in tears just telling me stories of, you know, bringing horses to the elderly or to the infirmed and sharing the gift of the horse with people who, you know, may or may not have ever had experience with them. And it's just a beautiful organization, and I'm so proud of what they do. And they went up to, New Jersey. They go everywhere with these minis that are so kind and so sweet, and they're just a great organization.
Well, I cried
during that interview.
Well, we haven't announced yet that we'll announce today on June the 10th, Monday, June the 10th. We have a very special episode that we're going to be doing here in Ocala. Wayne Williams, speaking of Horses, the TV show, and we've had Wayne on the show a number of times, is flying to Ocala, and we're going to do a mutual live show. So we'll be live on video and live on audio here on Horses in the Morning, and we'll be live on Speaking of Horses on the TV show. So yes, you actually get to see us doing the show, and we're doing it at a local trailer dealer here, has sponsored it in Ocala. And I talked to Debbie from Gentle Carousel Miniature Therapy Horses, and if they're back from Oklahoma by then, which she thinks they should be, they're going to bring one or two of the minis down and join us on the show live. So, and you'll be able to see them because we'll have a live video feed on that show. So that's all coming up on June the 10th.
Did you do this on purpose right after my due date so you wouldn't have to have me on the show because I have a face for radio? Is that what's going on?
That's it. That's exactly what it was. Actually, it kind of worked out. I needed to, we're trying to find guest co-hosts, and I talked to Wayne about guesting one day, and he said, well, why don't I come down and we just do it together? So it was very nice of him to offer to travel down here, and he's going to bring all his equipment, so we'll have a live video feed as well. We have several guests coming on that day. We have one of the guys who has the farm down here called Gypsy Gold, and they had the first Gypsy banners in the United States. So he's coming over to talk about how they brought the gypsies in, and he said he'd probably bring a gypsy along, but I'm not sure that the trailer dealership's going to allow it in their showroom, so we'll find out. We have a very special show planned that day, and just wanted to let everybody know about it. All right, it is your turn.
Well, 3 years ago today, I made the best decision by saying two words that I could ever imagine to make, and that was the words I do. I married Chad 3 years ago today on beach down in Florida, and so happy anniversary,
happy
babe.
Happy anniversary.
Yay! I can't believe it's been 3 years. I mean, obviously, we've been together longer, but 3 years married, and so much has happened. Look at me now. Oh my gosh.
What'd be really cool was if you actually got to have a baby on your anniversary.
See, that's not cool. And I'll tell you why. Because
yes?
let me this entire being with Chad and then planning the wedding and all that, I specifically planned my wedding. We got married on Memorial Day weekend on the beach down in Florida. And I did that thinking, for the rest of my life, our anniversary would fall on a three-day weekend or somewhere around a three-day weekend. So we would always have a three-day weekend. Well, now, if I have a stinking baby kid birthday on my planned three-day weekend anniversary, I'm going to be so mad. Like, it's just not fair. I worked so hard to plan around this three-day weekend, and now to have a baby, like, the day of my anniversary, oh, I'm so mad. Just because I said that, it's going to happen, too.
Well, you know, usually, though, if you have a baby your first time, it takes more than 24 hours of labor. You have that to look forward to. So you'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yes. Great. Except for the fact that I'm screwed no matter what, though, because either way, it's going to be like 1 or 2 days after the whole anniversary. You know, that's why I'm pushing for, like, okay, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, next week, whatever. Hold off. Come on.
All right, let's start the Wheel of Trivia. Equity, MFG.com.
It's time for the Equity, MFG.com
Wheel of Trivia,
where every week, unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have, like an old bell boot.
Thank you, Jennifer. It is that time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. And this is how it works. We're going to ask you a question. We have a lot of callers lined up here. We're going to ask you a question. And if you get the question correct, you will hear this sound. If you get the question wrong, you're going to hear Jamie's favorite sound, which she's going to be happy not to hear for a while, and that's this. The high school basketball buzzer. So that's what happens if you get it wrong. You have 5 seconds to answer because Jamie gets after me if I don't stick to that 5 seconds because we don't want you Googling. And Jamie's going to tell you the categories.
Yes, I will. So who are we going to have first, by the way, Glenn?
Well, it looks like we have somebody on horseback, and we said last week if somebody calls in on horseback, we're going to take them. So we'll do that first.
Front of the line, the categories, and I believe that we have Uta on horseback, and that is the deal. If you are on a horse, you get to the front of the line. So good morning, Uta. What are you doing?
Good morning. I'm riding. I'm on my vacation, having a wonderful time.
By being on vacation, does that mean you're just riding your own horse, or are you riding somewhere exotic?
Oh, I'm riding my horses. Heck, I have no time during the week to ride, so when I'm off, I'm staying home. That's my vacation. That's the best vacation you can ask for.
Amen, sister. Preach to the choir right
now,
here.
Jamie, though, we did say we want to hear clippity-clops. How can we? Are you on concrete or macadam or something? We can hear hoofbeats?
No, I'm actually on dirt, but if you want to hear the saddle creaking, I suppose I could arrange that.
You know what? That's okay. We don't need to hear,
I hear horses in the back.
Saddle. Yeah, we hear
him. Maybe
that's
hear the other horse in the background whinnying. He's pretty upset that he's in and I'm out.
Yeah, we can hear him. That's great. Well, Uta, that's fantastic. Enjoy your morning on your horse. So the categories today are random facts to impress your friends, and I should have known that. I don't have the passion.
Oh, but before we get to that, we have one question. We have a question we're asking everybody. It's so much fun with that last week. We have a question for her.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, here's my question, and this is a big topic on horsenation.com, so I'm curious to know what our listeners think. Uta, when you go... When you got on your horse, do you use a mounting block or do you mount from the ground?
Well, I used to mount from the ground, but I figure the horse is getting a little older. It's easier on his back, and it certainly is easier on my back, so I use a little step stool.
Yeah, there you go. See, and that's the thing. Some people are like such sticklers on mounting from the ground. Oh, you have to mount from the ground because you never know when you're going to be in that situation. It's just part of horsemanship. And other people are like save the horse's back, save my knees, whatever. So I'm just curious to find out kind of where our listeners sit. So you are a mount from the mounting block. That is one vote for mounting block. Fantastic. I would also like to cast in my vote for mounting block because I just think it's nicer for the horse. Glenn, Jennifer, do you guys have an opinion? Should we get your votes now?
I'm lazy mounting block.
Jennifer?
I am a mounting block convert.
Wow.
Absolutely.
All right.
I became a convert when I got my 17-hand thoroughbred. There is no way I could have mounted her from the ground.
That'll do it.
Yeah, no kidding. That will definitely do it. All right, Uta, categories, random facts to impress your friends, or I should have known that.
I'll go with I should have known that.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. It has two possible answers. You only have to name one of the two answers, okay?
Okay.
An American saddlebred is shown at the walk, trot, canter, and what two other gates? Just name one of the two.
I think they rack. It's called a rack.
Very good. Woohoo! She got it. Do you know the other one?
No, I do not.
I didn't know this one either. It's actually the slow gate because, you know, they're the five-gated ones, I guess, the slow gate. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that is, but someday we'll have a saddlebred person on who can explain it. But congratulations, you just won a prize on horseback. You're the first one ever in the show.
That's true. That is true. She is the first one ever in the show. All right, let's get the wheel situated here. Get it ready to go. Are you ready? Oh, we forgot to tell you, we do have some crappy prizes today. And the crappy prize today is a six-pack of colorful, crappy feet-cleaning devices. You know, those pick things. Yeah, those things, which I'm not going to say because I'm not going to start a controversy on Jamie's last day here.
Well, you know, my farrier calls it a hoof. I've always called it a hoof, so...
See?
But then what would I know? I'm from Germany.
And yeah, that's right. And your farrier is absolutely right. I love your farrier. So here we go. Let's spin the wheel.
Whatever.
Oh, there it is. Oh, there went the hoof fix. You just missed them. Well, here's something that I don't think that Uta has won before because they're brand new on the wheel, and that is you have won a Horse Radio Network T-shirt. They're brand new. It's in ladies' sizes, so you're going to be the first one to get the Horse Radio Network T-shirt. That's going to come out.
Splendid. I love it.
Yeah, terrific. Now
I want one.
You didn't even know we had those. No, we didn't till today, so they're new. All right, very good. Thank you, Uta. Hold on.
Yes, and good luck for Jamie, and happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, the next one up here is, I think we have a new caller next in line. This is Chris from Wisconsin.
Yes, that is correct.
Hello, Chris. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm up bright and early in the fog here in Wisconsin.
Wow, what are you doing up in the fog in Wisconsin? Tell us about yourself. You have horses? Are you living on a farm? Are you a boarder? What's your deal?
We have five horses, and I have written to Glenn because I'm a standardbred enthusiast, and I've sent pictures of him, of our standardbreds.
Oh, I remember that. Yes, yes.
We also have paint horse and two quarter horses, and... my grandchildren show them in 4-H.
Aww. That's okay, awesome.
Answer your question, a mounting block. Absolutely.
Seems to be the thing
He's
today.
A mounting block. Yeah, no kidding. Well, and your grandkids, do you teach them from the mounting block or do you teach them to mount from the ground?
The younger one who is... doesn't weigh even 100 pounds, she can get on without the mounting block, but my grandson is heavier, and he uses a mounting block. So,
all right. So far, we've got 6-1. And I don't know, when I was little, I mean, I didn't think anything of, you know, throwing my foot in the stirrup and pulling myself up, but then you start to think about gravity and pulling on your horse constantly, and then, oh, God, it starts to really get painful. I got to tell you, we had an issue, Chris, where I was out trail riding at about 6-7 months pregnant, and I was on my 16-2 hand thoroughbred, and I always take my dogs, and one of my dogs got some sort of sticker in her paw, and she couldn't get it out. So I had to get off, and of course I'm along the road, and I had to get off and pull the sticker out of her foot. She was very appreciative, and I walked back over to my horse, and I realized I'm in an English saddle at almost 7 months pregnant on the ground and by the road. So I proceed to attempt to heave myself up into the saddle at 7 months pregnant. It was such an entertaining moment, I'm assuming, for people that when they were driving by, they started slowing down, and cars came to a stop just to watch the fat pregnant lady trying to shimmy up the side of her irritated thoroughbred.
That's funny.
It was awful. It was awful. And that's when I was like, I'm done forever. This is so embarrassing. Oh, man. Okay, let's see. Back to the categories. Would you like random facts to impress your friends, or would you like the category, I should have known that?
Oh, this is hard because I'm not going to do well, I feel, but let's do, I should have known that.
Oh, I should have known that. Okay. And I think that this might be common in standardbred, so you might have a shot. What do you call a horse with an intermix of white and dark hairs throughout its coat that does not change color as it gets older?
A roan.
Light. Oh.
Very good. Very good.
Wow. You knew that immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be tougher, actually. I thought Jennifer wrote that in such a way that it would be tougher for people, but you just...
Me too.
You
I
that.
Didn't even... Yeah. I didn't understand what I was reading. She's so smart.
Well, that's great. That's terrific. Well, let's spin the wheel and see what you won here. My microphone on the wheel, it is spinning. My microphone on the wheel is not working well today. I don't know what's wrong with it.
Oh, no.
But it's going around. It just missed the six-pack crappy feet-cleaning devices. And, oh, you win a big prize today. And I don't know if you're going to be able to use this yourself or you're going to maybe be able to give it to one of your grandkids. But you won a Troxel Intrepid helmet.
Wonderful.
Yeah, this is worth over $50. The one thing that's fun about these particular helmets, Chris, is that they come in colors. Ruby, black, periwinkle, pink, pearl, or cobalt. And this is the ultralight, low-profile design created for schooling and all-purpose riding. Large vents provide superior ventilation for the cooler, more comfortable ride. Its self-adjusting CinchFit Pro system adjusts to the size and shape of the rider's head for an unmatched level of comfort and stability. A soft-tip visor provides extra sun protection. I use Troxel helmets. I have several of them, and I absolutely love them. They're comfortable, and they really do work. So congratulations. That's one of our big prizes on the wheel today.
Wonderful. That's great. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to let Jennifer talk to you and get all your details so that we can get you in contact with Troxel and get the helmet sent out to you.
Okay, great. Thanks. Wonderful program.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. And and thank you, by the way, for adopting those standardbreds and giving them a life. We appreciate it.
Yeah, they're good boys.
All right. Thanks, Chris. And next up, we have next in line was Robert from Arizona.
Good morning, Robert. How are you?
Good morning, Jamie. Congratulations on your upcoming anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm glad you called because I have some good news for you, and I need to post it on Facebook. I went and visited Sham last night at his home where he's being fostered, and oh my gosh, he is so much better. Of course, Sham is the little Arabian colt that was living at MASH and was adopted out, and then... I found listed on Craigslist, and then we got him back, and then Robert's the one who generously paid to have him gelded. So he is so much better, and he's so much happier, and you can walk up to him, and I pet him on the face for the first time. So it was just a really, really good deal.
That is absolutely fabulous news. I could see it in him. He just had to get in the right place.
Yeah, he was fantastic. So he's doing a lot better, and thank you very much for providing him with his brain surgery.
Hey, no problem. Like I said, if I couldn't help the guy out personally, I at least wanted to help him get a good start.
Well, you did. All right. So
I think he'd probably argue with that, by the way. Just saying. I'm just...
I don't know, Glenn. He seems pretty darn happy.
Okay. All right, good.
All right. Robert, are you a ground mounter, or are you a mount from a mountain block?
Well, for the most part, I mount from the ground. I've used a mounting block a couple times. I don't own one personally, but I'm always being teased because my little guy that I ride, he's just barely over 14 hands, and I'm 6 foot tall, so I'm always being teased that I need to pull my feet up so they quit dragging the ground when I'm riding him anyway. but for the most part, I do ground mounting, especially with his training I'm doing right now. We're starting to use a lot of trail rides, and we still get in some situations where he's unsure and doesn't want to possibly go forward, so I have to get off and walk him across, show him that it's okay, and slowly build his confidence up like that, so then I have to hop right back on him. So I guess for me, now, it works out best if we do ground mount.
Robert, I got to ask you a question, and this is a personal question. Are you single?
Am I single? No, I do have a girlfriend.
Got a girlfriend. God, sorry, ladies. He ain't married yet, though.
You know, we've never done
match.
Yeah,
but I think my girlfriend would probably fight tooth and nail any other woman that tried to come near me. So.
We've never done a matchmaker thing on here. That could have been fun. Robert, you ruined it.
I mean, come on. Just listening to a man talk about getting off his horse to show it's okay on a trail ride and then mounting it, and he's 6 feet tall. I mean, all of these things are good qualities. So I was just doing my fellow ladies a little bit of research, but apologize to your
lady.
Girlfriend for me.
It works your bubbles.
She should know that you're a catch, and she's lucky girl. All right, so that's another one for mounting on the ground. I'm noticing a trend here. Those that are young and tall that ride short horses are having no problem. Those of us that are older and have big horses, we have mounting blocks.
Yeah.
And my mounting block can be anything that is somewhat a foot taller than the ground, so I can jump on it, be it the side of my truck, a trailer, I don't know, the ramp to the dumpster that I put my poop in, like whatever's close is what I use. You don't have to spend a lot of money, Robert, but you don't clearly need one. Okay, now, categories. Would you like random facts to impress your friends, or, I should have known that?
Oh, well, the... Should have known that one to sound pretty tough this morning. Let's go ahead and try the random facts. Let's see how well I do there.
Okay, random facts to impress your friends. I'm disappointed you picked this category. It's going to be harder.
Uh-oh.
All right, but I love this question because it's a little bit close to home for me. Now, okay. Who was the Black Stallion's cart horse companion in the Walter Farley books?
Oh.
And she read that.
No, I did not.
No?
I don't know.
Oh, no, this is Black Stallion. Right, you didn't read this. Yep.
He does not know the answer, Glenn.
No, I don't know.
I was trying to give him extra time. He's a guy. Do I have to do it?
Hit the buzzer, Glenn.
Sorry, Robert.
I'm so sorry, Robert. The Black Stallion.
Oh, that's all right.
His companion in the Walter Farley books was a horse named Napoleon. It was a little white horse, and it was driven by Tony, the Italian who owned the cart horse gelding. See, that's more information than you guys even provided, Glenn. I have read every Black Stallion book that there possibly is. So,
if it's any consolation, Robert, I had no idea. I didn't even know what the Walter Farley books were. So, you and I we're there together.
You thought it was Black Beauty.
I did.
Oh my God.
Wasn't there only one book written about a horse and a cart? I didn't know.
So. Okay, I guess maybe as an Arabian owner, I probably should do my homework and read at least the Black Stallion books.
That's true.
I can't believe you haven't. I can't believe you haven't. Now, I'm going to have to find out if the Black Stallion is free for us to read, because if you haven't read that, Glenn, I need to read that to you.
Oh, yeah. Is it as good as the other one? Full of death and torment and...
Not going to tell, but it's completely different. The Black Stallion books are what started my excitement about horse racing. So it's got more racing themes in it than cart horses.
Okay.
Rather sad.
Thank you, Robert.
Oh, Robert, thank you.
Okay.
Oops. Sorry, Robert. Bye, Robert. Ada from New Jersey, speed round. We have time for one.
Okay.
Oh, all right, Ada, do you mount from the ground or from the mounting block?
Both.
Which do you do more?
Right now that I have bad knees, mountain block. But in teaching the kids with 4-H, I start them with the mountain block. And when they get proficient at that, I take it away. Of course, I have short horses.
So that's easier.
Okay, so... again, the theme is when you're young, you have to mount from the ground. But when you're older, it's a mountain block.
Right. Okay. I designed a mounting block for my father that was, you actually step down onto the horse.
Brilliant.
I like that.
Well, because the only way to get him up on the horse was, you know, we put the mounting block up higher. So this way he could step down. He didn't have to step up and over.
I like that.
Well,
I want one of those.
That's brilliant. All right. So because we have to do the lightning round here, our guest is waiting. Would you like random facts to impress your friends or, I should have known that.
I should have known that.
Okay. I should have known that. Here we go. Quick question. How many splint bones does a horse have?
Two on each leg.
Okay. I don't even see the question, so I don't know the answer.
How many splint bones does a horse have? She said two on each leg, so would that be two or four, six or eight?
Four.
Oh!
Two on each leg.
Yeah.
Well, two on each leg would be eight because they have two on the back legs as well.
Oh, I didn't hear you say the eight. Yes. I didn't hear that the horses were hollering.
She did say two on each leg, which is...
Yeah, my guys hear me talking and they're hollering at me. Even my donkey is hollering out down the back right now.
All right, do you want to ask her another one? Do you want to give her another one quick?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and do another one just because it must be hard to hear, so we'll give you another try here. All right, here we go. I should have known that category is a properly applied lip twitch causes the release of what chemical into the horse's system, causing a temporary analgesic effect.
That's right. I even knew that one. Woohoo! I got one. Do I win something? Do I win? No. Okay. All right. Let's spin
Good
the wheel
job.
Quick. Spinning the wheel. Fix that microphone. Stupid microphone. Oh! Ada, have you won the horse quencher before?
No, I didn't.
Well, you're going to now. You get a 3.5-pound bucket of horse quencher. Horse quencher is a precise and proven blend of all natural grains and flavorings. It causes virtually every horse to dive right into the water bucket, even with the pickiest drinkers. And now with horse quencher, when you lead your horse to water, you really can make them drink. You can learn more at horsequencher.com. Congratulations!
Thank you.
Your horses and donkeys and whatever it is, they'll love this stuff. It absolutely works. So they'll love it. No more colic. Keep them drinking. I don't know if Ada's still there or not.
I don't know. No, she was still there.
Well,
I don't
Jennifer,
know
if she's still there, you can take her.
She had to answer too many questions. All right, well, Ada, thanks for calling. And everybody, thank you so much for calling today and being a part of the EquityMFT.com Wheel of Trivia. I almost said Horses in the Morning Wheel of Trivia, Horse Nation, whatever we are. We appreciate you guys listening and calling in. Oh, I can't think anymore. I haven't slept in like 3 days.
All right, let's take a break for a commercial, and then hopefully we'll have our guest on here when we get back.
FleeceWorks manufactures pure Australian merino sheepskin and merino wool saddle pads and accessories. Their pads produce a vital thermal balancing layer to pull excess moisture and heat away from the horse's back, allowing muscles to work at maximum capacity without overheating. FleeceWorks Australian merino wool is breathable and hydrophilic, able to hold and store 35% of its own weight in liquid. A longtime staple of the medical field, Australian merino fibers have no equal when it comes to delivering a temperature-controlled, pressure-absorbing layer. The FleeceWorks philosophy, minimum bulk, maximum performance, and they have a variety of anatomically correct pads incorporating technologies and designs that address the individual needs of every horse and rider. Ask for FleeceWorks saddle pads and accessories by name at your local tack and feed store, or visit them online at fleeceworks.com.
That's right. And FleeceWorks, we absolutely love FleeceWorks. I don't know if Jamie is still sitting on her. Actually, we were given FleeceWorks seat covers, and they're wonderful sheepskin seat covers. And Jennifer sits on hers every day. I don't know if you're still sitting on yours anymore, but
right now,
you're probably really appreciating it more now too. But they really do work. FleeceWorks pads are used by most of the professionals out there. Use FleeceWorks pads, and they absolutely are the best fleece pads you're going to find. So check them out. Well, we're waiting for Victoria at this point to show up for Horse and Country TV segment, but we do have a lot of news that we can talk about in the meantime, and one of them was a horse rescue down that you heard about.
Yeah, this was actually on the local news last night here in Phoenix, because it's close enough to be, you know, relevant, I guess, being in California. But it was a horse. I'm so sick of these stories. I don't know why you can comfortably turn out a horse in a situation that might potentially be dangerous. But in San Rafael, California, a horse was trapped in a 20-foot well. It walked across the wooden, old wooden top of the well, and we're talking well. It's like, it looks like a kid's swimming pool. It's that wide. It's really, really wide. It was a 9-year-old Morgan horse named Buddy. He stepped onto the well's wooden covering Monday afternoon, and it gave way and sent him plunging down and crashing into the water. Well, the water was quite farther below, like 8 feet below the top of the well. So he actually fell for a while, hit the water. A ranch hand heard the sound, called the owner. They ran out to find him treading water in the base of this well, 8 feet down. So unbelievable. The San Rafael Fire Department had to come in and pump 1,000 gallons of water into the well so the horse would actually be floated to the top of the well. Which then, mind you, this horse is treading water for 2 hours.
Oh, I didn't even know horses could do that, to be honest with you. I didn't know they could do that for that long. Wow.
I didn't either. I mean, you got to either drain it or, I mean, but what are you going to do? I mean, they were smart to fill it up and get them to float to the top. That had to be pretty scary. So they had to then bring in a private crane. A crane, privately owned, was brought into the rescue where they strapped the horse in. I mean, and imagine a horse treading water and you've got to, like, put straps underneath his belly and everything. 2 hours this horse is treading water. They brought the crane in, lifted him out, totally fine. A bruise over his eye and a couple scrapes on his legs from falling through the wood.
I bet
is that unbelievable?
I bet he slept good that night, though. Jeez.
Yeah.
My God. 2 hours.
I can't tread water for 10 minutes.
2 hours. Wow. That's a long time to be in water that deep.
Well, I've got another little horse rescue story for you, Glenn, and this happened at my own home.
Oh, at your house?
Yeah.
Oh,
at my house.
Well, I didn't see it in the newspaper.
It was not in the newspaper, but I just emailed Jennifer a picture, and you can post it once I tell you about it. The little pony Jacob that we have, it's boarded here at my house. It's owned by a 13-year-old girl named Rachel, and she loves this pony. And this pony and her are best friends in the whole wide world. And she gets out here and, you know, he whinnies for her. He gallops up to her. You know, it's like a love story between child and pony that you just can't even imagine. So said pony is turned out in the pasture and I bring him in, or we open the gate and he comes into a stall. And I saw him like rubbing his face on the stall. And I'm like, hey, stop it. Because like, he's got his own little stall sign and he was rubbing his face on me. He's going to break it. I'm like, stop it. And I go to shoo him. And I'm like, oh my God. His face, Glenn, is swollen to epic proportions. I have never seen this, and I wanted to post it on our Facebook page and see if any listeners have ever seen a horse's face do something like this. It looked like he had a football for a nose. He had his fly mask on, which was now super tight over his swollen face. I pull the fly mask off, and I realize not only is his face and nose swollen, his whole entire head is swollen. His eyes are swollen shut. I don't know how he found his way in his stall, Glenn. His ears are swollen almost shut. It went all the way down, halfway down his neck. Then the rest of his body was covered in welts and bumps and everything. All the way down his rump, he was covered in welts and everything. So I called the vet. And I have my little emergency kit, and they're like, okay, give him 15 cc's of dexamethasone. See what happens. Because it's a Monday, Memorial Day holiday. They weren't super excited about rushing out. So they give him the dex. Doesn't get any better. An hour later, he's still... I mean, I had the syringes to stick up his nose in case his nose closed up. He was having a severe allergic reaction to something. So I call him back. I'm like, this ain't working. He needs epinephrine or something. They come out. They have to pump this little tiny pony full of epinephrine, more dexamethasone, some antihistamines, all sorts of stuff, just to try to get his face to stop swelling. I mean, it was epic. So Jennifer has a picture of it that she's going to post on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. They have no idea what caused this reaction.
Could it have been a bug? Snake, a scorpion, or a bee sting, or
exactly?
Ooh, I'm looking at the picture.
Isn't that crazy?
Looks like a cartoon character. Wow.
It was amazing. And the poor little guy, I just kept hosing him off and I kept him in the crosshairs. And of course, I'm so pregnant. I'm just like, oh, God, this hurts. You know, I'm just standing up outside in the sun trying to hose him off. And I'm going to try to reposition it because you've got to click on it so you can see his nose because it was totally swollen shut. Anybody ever had this happen before? I'm just curious to know. The thing is that most horses, you would think, Glenn, they'd be like, depressed, they'd be stressed out, they'd be, you know, whatever. I walked inside to go grab some water. I came back out and I'm like, oh, I hope he's not passed out. He nickers at me thinking I have food. Like, it was the weirdest sounding nicker ever. It was like,
so the vet had no idea, huh?
She said that in the next couple of days after the swelling's down, we're supposed to look for a place where it would be like necrotic tissue, like dead tissue, to see if he had any sort of bug bite, if he had any sort of snake bite, anything like that. But I cannot tell you for the life of me what it would be. I mean, no clue.
Well, you do have exotic creatures there in the desert. So, I mean, I guess it could have been any one of them. Or it could just be allergic to bee stings. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? But we now have epinephrine in the refrigerator. My husband loves that. A horse-sized dose of syringe in the butter tray.
Yeah, we always love seeing that in the cheese tray. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. At least it's not poop this time. So it's just epinephrine, babe, in a giant horse-sized syringe.
Well, I hope he gets better. That's terrible. Well, we do have our guest has arrived here all the way from England.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And good morning, Victoria. How are things in jolly old England?
They're grey and cloudy here, but good, thank you. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit later than planned.
That's okay. That's okay. Have you ever had a horse's face swell up to where you thought, like, their nose was going to close off?
No, that sounds quite dramatic.
It was very dramatic. And let me tell you, when this child arrived on scene to see her pony, because, of course, I had to call her, oh, my gosh, the sobbing, like, it was just the saddest thing. I'm like, he's going to be fine. He's going to be so, oh, my God, my pony. I mean, imagine being 13 years old and, like, your best friend pony, you walk up and their face is swollen like that. Oh,
not
you
good.
Just have to break your heart. So sad. But he, by the way, he's okay now. And just chalk that up to one of the experiences that I've never had that, you never know what can happen around horses, I guess. And speaking of what's happening around horses, what is going on with horseandcountry.tv?
Well, the SEI Nations Cup Series is back well underway, and we've just had the home leg in Britain and with our eventing team, and we actually won, and we beat the Germans.
Woohoo!
Which is always nice, yeah.
Hey, we'll root for you to beat the Germans. Yay!
Well, considering they won the Olympic Games, it's about time that we won. And we had quite a young team. It's kind of a bit of a journeyman team who they're trying to give them some team experience, and they lived up to expectations, and they managed to see off a very good team from Germany. So, great result.
That's terrific.
That's fantastic.
Hey, can
when they threw together. Go ahead, Glenn.
Well, I was just going to say, can I bring up something, though? Can you tell Charlotte, when she's writing stories, that if she ever writes anything in the United States, the one sentence here, let me just read this to you. However, the Germans saw their team top team spot slip away when Julia knocked up 20 penalties. Tell her not to use the term knocked up 20 anymore. It means something different here.
It does have the same, I think it has the same meaning over here, but yes, it's
sorry, Jamie, go ahead.
Clocked up should be better, I think. Right. Clocked up penalties.
And I resemble that remark, so I don't appreciate that one bit. Unbelievable. That's great. Well, so that's just cool that they throw together a young team thinking, oh, we'll give them some experience. The young team comes out and wins the whole thing. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. And good to see them giving some new names a chance, because you know our kind of Olympic teams are there and they're going to perform. So it's good to put younger riders to the test.
Now, there is a new another thing coming to you guys that is called the Global Champions Tour. And when you look at this article that you wrote, by the way, congratulations, it is the coolest photo that I've ever seen.
I think it might not be real. I think Nick Skelton didn't really jump over a Tower Bridge. Do you know, now I'm going to get something wrong here, but apparently an American tourist came over and saw Tower Bridge and decided it was the most amazing thing and bought it and had it shipped over to America. But actually he ordered the wrong bridge. He ordered London Bridge, which is a lot less exciting. So you were meant to have that bridge over in the United States, if I remember correctly.
Well, I do believe we do have the London Bridge over here, and it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So this one's a lot prettier, too, as well.
I think that was the one he wanted, and he got that one by mistake. yeah.
Okay, that would suck. You spend all that money to buy a bridge, and you get the wrong one. That would really
suck. That means you're an idiot.
And you're not going to have Nick Skelton jumping London Bridge in Arizona. So it was just a terrible mistake. So, yes, it is a really cool picture. And I really hope it's a success, because they're trying to continue this theme that they had at the Olympics of bringing show jumping to the masses and not just having your traditional venues that we all know and love, but actually picking somewhere in the middle of the city and encouraging people to go. I haven't heard how ticket sales are doing. I really hope it sells out and that it turns into an annual event. I don't know if you guys have a Global Champions Tour leg over there, but they have them all around the world in the most ritzy places. So it's a very high prize money, high glamour event. So it'll be interesting to see how it gets on in the capital next week.
Okay, so just to jump back to your London Bridge thing, because Wikipedia is right all the time, it doesn't say anything about him buying the wrong bridge accidentally, but he did buy the bridge in 1967. It was dismantled from London. It spanned the River Thames in London, and then it was brought over here, and it is now in Arizona on the shore of Lake Havasu, which is apparently a beautiful place. And they brought the London Bridge over to attract people to Lake Havasu. And I don't know if it worked or not, because I've never been to Lake Havasu, and I live in Arizona. So I can check it out.
It could be an urban legend. It could be one of these things that we get taught in school that before Wikipedia came along. So who knows?
I think it's a better story that you had. So there
yeah,
you go.
Exactly. He didn't even get a free show jumper thrown in when he bought the bridge. I mean,
that's awesome. Okay, back to the Tour of Champions. I don't think we have that here, Glenn. Do you?
No, we don't
remember
have,
hearing anything.
I think last year they brought one of the legs was in Miami or something, but there's none this year, I don't think. And they've been doing that for quite a few years, and it really was trying to create this super tour for the jumpers and basically make a ton of money. And I think it's done very well in Europe, but I don't know that it's taken off real well over here.
No, yeah, it's founded by a European show jumper called Jan Tops, who was hugely successful, and he's now married to Edwina Tops Alexander, who keeps winning the global championship, which is quite helpful. And and it'll be good to see. It's just going to be interesting. Like, are they going to have lots of different classes and speed classes and kind of quirky ones? Because I think that's what makes part of Hickstead and Olympia and Horse of the Year show such a success, is that you go along and you might have a six bar or a puissance or a speed classes, or at Hickstead we have the Derby, and it just, you know, people really have an affinity for these classes, whereas if it's just Grand Prix after Grand Prix, it can sometimes be a little bit clinical, I guess. And
you can use the word boring, it's okay.
Well, if you love show jumping, I mean, those are the hugest classes, and if you've ever walked a Grand Prix class, they're just terrifying. But I do think some of the more exciting ones to watch are the quirky ones, but maybe that's just me with a low attention span.
You and Glenn both. Sounds right up his alley. Now, I was looking through your photo of the day gallery, and I find these are the coolest pictures ever, but there's really no theme tying it together. So is this just a place people can submit their own photos?
Sometimes we have them sent in, but sometimes we just pick it's news and pictures, so there is nothing thematic at all other than that. So it's just what's been hitting the headlines or quirky photos from around the world. So we've got everything from a Shire horse baby to a girl that was chosen to be the face of British eventing, and Mark Todd receiving his OBE. So there's a real mix of things in there, but it's quite fun to go and browse through them.
Yeah, it sure is. There's some horses doing some very naughty dressage movements too, Glenn, so you want to check that out. And then what is going on Horse and Country TV?
Well, we're very excited this week because we have the premiere of Badminton, A Rider's View, which is on tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the UK. And basically, our cameras followed an event rider called Francis Whittington, who had two rides at Badminton. And he's a very, very charming, very English, frightfully well-spoken young man. And he's a very good rider. And so it's following him, and it finds out what it means to compete at Badminton and what it takes to get there. And you see his yard and you see him training. And then you actually find out what life is like on the four-star and just the little behind-the-scenes things that you might not know about, like the grooms always take the horses for a walk in front of the house. I think maybe the night after cross-country, just to stretch off. And you see the trot up and all the outfits that everybody wears. And our cameras kept rolling throughout the event and spoke to Francis the minute he came off cross-country. So it was a really fascinating insight into competing at the top level.
He's absolutely adorable, too. There's a reason you guys picked him in there.
Well, yes, it helps that he's easy on the eye, and he's really fun as well, and he's got a really cute little boy, and I think our team had a great time filming the show.
Yeah, I would imagine, yeah.
And finally, you've got a video of the week.
Yes, if you if you ever wanted to know about equine digestion by means of a rugby ball, or I should say an American football for you guys, or and a bit of drain pipe, this is a video to watch. We have this equine vet who talks about the equine digestive system in such a clear, simple way, and it's been a big hit on our site. And he also he talks about how to avoid colic, and takes you through from the horse's teeth all the way through his digestive system, and talks about worming and all the other things about how to keep him healthy and how to avoid colic. So it's definitely worth spending 10 minutes watching it to protect your horse.
Yeah, you would think when you said it's this guide, complete guide to equine digestion, you're thinking hours, but it's actually just only like 9.5 minutes. So I will be watching that right afterwards. Just, you know, you can't learn too much, I guess.
Exactly. And he says it in a really concise way, and it makes it accessible for everybody who, you know, you might not be wanting to write a thesis on the internal workings of a horse, but it just gives you such a good basic understanding of what the horse's digestive system is like.
Fantastic. Well, we do appreciate it, Victoria Spicer. Thank you so much for being on our show. And next week, if you call in on time, you are definitely playing the Wheel of Trivia.
Okay, I'll give it a go, but you can't ask me any questions about American breeds or something, because I'll struggle.
Oh, honey, it is all a McDonald's and whatever is so American that we can find. It's Walmart and McDonald's for you next week.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Thanks, Victoria.
I'll be keeping in touch.
From where?
From Gibraltar in the southern tip of Spain next week. I'm going out there for a week. But I'll still be working, so I'll be calling in from there.
Oh my gosh.
Rough job you got.
Hey, keep in touch. This is my last day before I go on maternity leave. So a long hug from Arizona, and we'll keep in touch on Facebook.
Oh, wow. Well, I hope it all goes wonderfully well, and I'm looking forward to hearing the news in due course.
Thank you.
Thank you, Victoria.
All the best.
All right, bye. I'm going to miss her. I'm going to miss all you guys. This is tough.
We're going to miss you, too. But you can still listen. You can call in. You better call in and give us updates. Well,
yeah.
You can call in, and we'll record the updates later in the day. How about that?
I'll call. It'll happen.
You'll be up. The kid's going to be crying at 4 in the morning. You'll be up. You'll be fine.
I'll be like, why did I do this? This is so stupid.
We want to hear the first. We want you to call in, you know, one day when the baby's crying and you're cranky, so that we can all go, yep, that's what we thought.
Yeah. I'll have my hair in curlers. I'll be in a bathrobe. Yeah, holding the baby.
A pink flowered bathrobe. Martini. Has to be a pink flowered bathrobe. Exactly. Yep, that's right.
Oh, God.
Let's take a break for our song. We'll be right back after this message and our song of the day. And today, I'm not sure what we have. Oh, Happy House from Templeton Thompson.
Fleeceworks manufactures pure Australian merino sheepskin and merino wool saddle pads and accessories.
Sorry. I'm all messed up today. Let's do this commercial.
Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I'm with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week, I would like to feature an item that we have that not everybody has in stock because it's for men. Men have an awful hard time finding riding attire.
That is true.
And we have purchased some RJ Classics Extreme Softshell Show Coat in men's in navy. These are perfect for the hunter ring. They are men's sizing, and we have them in stock. It's only $228. These extreme soft shells are very cool. They're quite a bit cooler than your regular wool coat. It's also washable. And apparently, from what I understand, these new softshell products are all the rage on the hunter scene right now. So we went ahead because we understand our men riders have a horrible time finding stuff, and we have quite a few of these in stock and ready to ship today. So look for the RJ Classics Extreme Softshell Show Coat in men's.
And I like the fact that you have shorts, regulars, and longs. So that's a good thing. And
yep.
You can find all the different options and sizes on the website at equestriancollections.com.
Yep, we hope to see all of our men giving us a call. We also have a lot of other men's items. We do try and keep the men in our sight.
And don't forget, you can follow Equestrian Collections on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, search for Equestrian Collections, and like them there. That's equestriancollections.com.
Our happiness by the river, where the cotton is and the bluebirds fly, is a rusty old nest holding up a welcome sign. Comfort zone. Our happy hands just sit and stone. It's a real good place. Take it slow. Just keep on back. And before you know, you'll find yourself right at home. Our happy hands built on love. Build a tree and let the snow. Our happy home got three good dogs and a stretch on the hill is all they want. There's a lesson there, take it all in stride. Life is good, joy and pride. Our happy home. Build a dream, then that's yourself. And every day, I'm more amazed how everything just falls into place. Our happy house by the river, where the cottonwood and the bluebirds.
That was Templeton Thompson and her song called Happy House. And no, that was not the beast purring at the beginning there. That is actually part of the song. So Jennifer wasn't even sure. She asked, is your cat on your desk? I said, no. No, that was part of the song. You're listening to...
I thought you were playing Marianne Kennedy Barn Cat.
I should have done that for your last day. I really should have. I didn't have time to prepare. See, that was the problem. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and Jamie Jennings on her final day before maternity leave. And, of course, Coach Jen over there doing the producing today. And we have some terrific prizes for this week's Really Bad Ads. Yes, we will have Really Bad Ads without Jamie. It won't be as good, but we'll give it a shot, and we'll try and keep it going here. And we have a gift pack from Dr. Rose's Remedies. Dr. Rose's Skin Treatment Salve and Spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients. They can be used on most skin conditions, from hot spots to rain rot. And that's something that is happening in many parts of the country right now. So you can find all of their products and information at drrosesremedies.com. Also, we have Rebound Hoof Pack. It's It's a revolutionary product.
Hold on. Stop. Let me do this one, please. Okay. Just so you don't irritate me.
Ah, I didn't think about that. Okay, go ahead.
This is a gift pack from Rebound Hoof Pack. Oof. It's a revolutionary product designed to relieve pain, soreness, and inflammation without having to wrap. Am I hearing this correctly?
Yes.
This all-natural, super sticky product is easily applied to the hoof with a wet hand, covered with shavings or paper, and the job is done. It doesn't test. It washes off with water. It was formulated by top vets and farriers and is endorsed by Olympic riders. So you can visit their website at www.reboundhoofpack.com for a demonstration, testimonials, and distributors near you. The prize you will receive is a 3.5-pound jar worth over $50, including shipping. So Rebound Hoof Pack, check it out online.
And then another big one, too. We have lots of great prizes. Get your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, because the third one is Triple Crown Nutrition is offering 5 free bag coupons from Triple Crown Nutrition, good for any Triple Crown feed, forage, or supplement available in your area, whether you're looking for higher fat, lower carbs, a senior diet, or sound nutrition for your growing horse. Triple Crown Nutrition has the answer. Prizes are available in the lower 48 states, no international availability, and no Hawaii or Alaska. Any states in the lower 48 where you can't find a dealer, they will ship some of their Rice Bran Oil Plus product out to you. So that's 5 bags of feed. That's over $125 value. So get your ads in to Jennifer at Horse Radio Network today.
It's time for the weekly health report from Horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
And it is that time of the week when we talk to Michelle Anderson, digital editor of thehorse.com, and she brings all kinds of good stuff to us every week. And today, I think I'm safe. I won't be getting sick.
No, not at all. This one is pretty mild. Today we are talking about omega fatty acid supplementations in our horses, and we have Dr. Stacy Oak with us. Dr. Oak, are you there?
I sure am.
Hey. So Dr. Oak has joined us before, and she's one of our writers for The Horse and thehorse.com.
Can I interrupt one second? Hi, Dr. Oak.
Hi, how are you?
Good to have you back. Before you guys get started, I have to say I told Jamie this earlier. I'm on this new diet for my Lyme disease, and I read the book and the diet book for Lyme, and it's all into this fatty acid and omega stuff. And every time I read this stuff, I get more confused and I just don't understand it. So what I'm asking is keep it simple today for people like me, okay? Because I got the whole way through it and said I'm just going to follow the damn diet. I don't care what it does. So I'm just saying, all right?
We'll try, Glenn, because
okay,
this is super complicated, and which is why we have Dr. Oak, who can break it down for us and put it into a fact sheet and talk about it. So let's start off with the basics, Dr. Oak. What is an omega fatty acid, and how are they different than other fats?
Well, we could start with just what is a regular fat, and all fats are just long chains of carbon and hydrogen that are stuck together. So regardless of what kind of fat you are, you're all carbon and hydrogen. So an omega fatty acid is special because it has double bonds instead of single bonds between carbon atoms, which kinks the fatty acid and just makes it behave different in the body.
Okay, so we're talking on the molecular level.
We're talking on a molecular level. There's no other way to describe it. Yep. That's right.
Okay.
I know, and this is why it's confusing, because to really get your head around it, you have to think of what they look like, right down to the atoms in the in the fats.
Yeah. Okay, so we hear talk of omega-3s and omega-6s, and that sounds very similar. So how are they different?
The omega-3 fatty acids, it just refers to where in the carbon chain the double bond is. So they they're labeled 1, 2, all the way to, you know, 20, 24, depending on how long the chain is. And so the omega-3s have the double bond at the third carbon, whereas the omega-6s have the double bond at the sixth carbon. And it sounds like a very small difference, but it totally changes how these fats are metabolized by the horse's body.
Okay. And so omega-3s, we hear, are good. Like if we go, like if I go to the grocery store, I'll see that there's eggs, that there's omega-3 fatty acids in the eggs. I know with my own chickens, I can buy special omega-3 feed to have healthier eggs for me to eat. But we never see, like, yay, this has omega-6 in it. So why are omega-3s considered good for us and our horses, and omega-6s maybe not so much?
The omega-3 fatty acids, when they are metabolized, they are actually more anti-inflammatory. So when they get broken down by the body, they are very beneficial to the body, whereas the omega-6 fatty acids are, like a two-year-old. They're just horrible.
And two-year-old human or two-year-old horse?
It's just awful. And so when they're metabolized and broken down by the body, they're pro-inflammatory, and they wreak a bit of havoc in the body, and they're just not healthy.
And so inflammation is bad.
Inflammation is bad, yep, and okay. The omega-6s promote inflammation.
Okay, and so we hear a lot about omega-3s in human nutrition. So I mentioned the eggs, or, you know, you go to your cereal aisle and things are fortified with omega-3s. So what kind of studies are backing the positive effects of omega-3s in the diet?
There's tons of research in human medicine in this field that, you know, support an increase in the omega-3 fatty acids to compensate for the omega-6s. The omega-6s, they're abundant. They're cereals, and, you know, you can run into the omega-6s in basically any food item that you can pick up. But the omega-3s, by increasing those, we're just trying to find a healthier balance between the two types of omega fatty acids. In horses, there's a lot of research as well, but not nearly as much as in human, but mostly just because it's expensive to conduct studies in horses. But there's lots of research in horses that shows that increasing your omega-3 fatty acid ratio in the diet improves coat and skin quality, hoof quality. It supports the immune system. It can help unthrifty horses with their weight gain. It's also demonstrated benefits for horses with arthritis, respiratory issues like heaves or recurrent airway obstruction, and it's also beneficial for breeding horses and athletic horses.
Okay. So, What are some of the reasons that our horses end up getting too many omega-6s? And it's probably why we as humans also get too many omega-6s. but why is that?
It's because we're making poor dietary choices. So horses can survive, most horses in North America can survive off forage only. And the omega fatty acids that are in forage are primarily the omega-3s. It's when we start adding cereal grains to our horse's diet, and those are loaded with omega-6 fatty acids. And so that's the problem, that as soon as we start adding those cereal grains, or if we're adding oil to our horse's diet, but it's a vegetable oil, then again, it's loaded with omega-6.
Mm-hmm. So the vegetable oil, so let's go to that, because that, I remember when I was a kid, like that, if you had a horse that needed to gain weight or you wanted to have that shiny coat for show season, you would get the huge thing of corn oil from from Costco, and then you would pump it over your cob that we fed at the time, at least in my area. And so you were delivering to your horse on a platter a bunch of omega-6s without even knowing
it. Exactly.
So what? How has our understanding of equine nutrition changed in how to get those extra calories and extra fat to our horses? How do we get them the omega-3s that they need rather than pumping them up with omega-6s?
We're going to choose a different type of oil. So in this case, we're going to be looking for fish oil. And, of course, fish is not something that a horse would normally eat. So
it's weird.
I know. It's not. But, you know.
But what?
A glob of corn oil isn't exactly natural for a horse's diet either.
And we're seeing fish oil in quite a few supplements.
Exactly.
So are there studies that are showing that the fish oil is a good source of omega-3s for horses?
Yes, and there's also studies showing that the supplements are absorbed into the body and incorporated into cells and their membranes, such as red blood cells. So they've proven that, yes, you can feed it, yes, it's absorbed, and yes, it is used systemically.
So
okay,
hold on.
All right, so yes. You are telling me that my horse, being a herbivore vegetarian, needs to start ingesting fish oil. And number one, doesn't make any sense. Number two, there's got to be a better way, because the way they harvest a lot of the fish oil is not the fishy-friendly way that one would hope.
So I don't think we're going to grill up salmon and serve it to our horses. And as far as the sustainability factors of gathering fish oil, Stacy, do you have any information on that?
I'm going to take the fifth on that one.
See, exactly.
That's a whole new can of salmon there.
Sorry.
I think the problem is, Doc, that I am a vegetarian. So my horse
and you want your horse to remain a vegetarian?
Yes.
Well, there's alternatives. There's linseed oil.
Exactly. There's got to be another way. So what other options do we have?
Linseed oil.
Linseed oil.
Okay. Flaxseed oil.
Which is flax, yeah.
Yep, so vegetarian.
So, but the the source of the omega-3, does it matter in the makeup of the omega-3 if it is from fish or if it's from flaxseed? Or is it the same thing?
No, we just want to increase that omega-3 ratio. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on
a second. I got a question.
Yeah.
I'm trying to follow along here.
Yes, Glenn.
I'm getting a headache. So you said there are bad grains that have more omega-6s. What are those bad? You said whole grains, or you said something like that.
She said cereal grains.
So, what are we talking about?
Any cereal grain that you're going to feed to your horse.
Okay, well, what are we talking about?
Fruit Loops.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is it Corn Chex? You know.
The corn, oats. Yep. All that stuff.
Corn and oats are bad. See, and that's all our parents and grandparents,
feed. I think we want to be very careful to not label those things as completely bad.
No,
I don't think it's as black and white as that. It's just that those cereal grains tend to have more of the omega-6s than a horse's diet would include if they were out foraging on the plain.
Exactly.
And that's right, because I live in the desert, and my horses are dry lotted, and I have to say the horses across the street that have irrigation and they're on pasture, and irrigation brings up a whole other can of salmon as far as management. But the horses are glossy and beautiful, where mine are not quite as glossy and beautiful unless they're getting their omega-3 supplement. So is there something special about grass and fresh grass that helps make those horses shinier because of the omega-3. Is that the difference?
Well, yeah, the natural forage for a horse, like I said, it hasn't got a ton of fats in it, but the component of the fats that are present in grass, hay, and grass is higher in omega-3 fatty acids.
Okay, so there is a good reason for me to scoop that supplement and give it to my horses. But you mentioned, and I want to go back to it, that there is research on this kind of supplement that this is actually getting to our horses and making a difference for them as far as their coat condition and inflammation in their joints.
Yes, there's definitely science supporting it. And the Kentucky Equine Research website also has a library, and they've got some excellent articles on the topic in there as well, and those are all free downloads.
Okay. As well. Yes, and so we also have the fact sheet that you authored, Dr. Oak, and it is available. We have posted it on Facebook today if people want to take a look at it. And Glenn, I'm sorry we gave you a headache. We were trying to keep it really simple.
I know. I'm just nutrition deficient. That's what I think it is.
No,
nutrition,
see, everybody,
nutrition
as soon as you
tough.
Start saying carbon and hydrogen, people are like,
That's it.
Brings back terrible memories of high school.
That's exactly
right.
I
know, it's chemistry flashbacks.
It's like being tortured.
And that's getting into organic chemistry, isn't it? Ugh.
It is, my favorite.
Ugh. That's like a true doctor.
I have a question, real quick, because now I'm stuck on the whole flaxseed oil, because to me that, you know, it's easier to me than the fish oil. Now, what I do every day for my horses, and they have these amazing shiny coats, Michelle, and this is something maybe that you want to do, and I don't know why it works, but it works, and so I keep doing it. I take flaxseed and I grind them in a coffee grinder, and every single day, and they each get like 2 ounces of or 2 scoops of it of fresh ground flaxseed. Does that have the flaxseed oil in it, or is that something else that's different?
Yeah, the flaxseed oil is derived from seeds. Yeah, so if you're grinding it up and feeding it to your horses, then that's an efficient way to do it.
Yeah, and we use it here. We use it here instead of selenium. We use the flax for sand control, you know, and that's why we use it. Yeah,
me too.
And I think that one of the challenges with fresh flaxseed and grinding it yourself is, one, the effort to grind it, because I barely get my coffee ground in the morning. And grind. But I've been in barns where we've, you know, done the flaxseed in the coffee grinder. But it's also, flaxseeds aren't as stable, or flaxseed oil. They tend to get rancid more quickly, unless they're cold milled. There's some special way that you can have flaxseed that makes it so that it's a little bit more stable. But I think that's another one of the challenges, isn't it, Dr. Oak, between flax oil and then maybe using the fish instead.
Right. And, you know, again, I'm kind of like a grumpy person about nutritional supplements, because there are so many poor quality products on the market. Really choose your product wisely. And on thehorse.com, there's articles describing different ways for owners to evaluate the horse's needs, the horse's diets, and appropriately selecting a product that is most likely to be beneficial to your horse so that you're not wasting your money on useless products, and to evaluate all the supplements that you're giving to make sure you're not doubling up on ingredients.
Well, thank you, Dr. Oak, for coming and sharing with us. Do you guys have any more questions about omega?
No, I was just going to say flax is good for people too, Michelle, so go ahead and grind some up with your coffee in the morning, and you'll be good to go.
I'll share it with my horses, yes.
Yeah. All right, guys, thank you very much.
I have to say, I do like flax, and I can't get my husband to eat it, though, so...
Well, thank you very much, both of you. We really appreciate it. TheHorse.com. Take care.
Thanks.
All right. That's it for TheHorse.com this week. And I'm not sure. I think I'm a little better off than I was before. I think I am. But I'm nutrition deficient. I think I'm just not capable.
I just feel better that there are, you know, first of all, to hear somebody say give a vegetarian, you know, a herbivore fish oil, you know, at least there's some alternatives to fish oil, because that was tough for me to swallow, because I'm not giving my horse fish. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. And the way that they harvest fish oil, people, by the way, for those who don't eat your meat, it's awful. So it's incredibly cruel. So don't get fish oil. Give them flaxseed. Oh, my gosh. All you have to do is I bought like a big grinder. I hit the button. They grind it all up. I feed it to them. It's cake.
And Jennifer buys it. But you buy it by the pound at the local. We actually get it at the local feed store by the pound. So, you know.
I buy 50-pound bags of it. Yeah.
Oh, do you? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We only have one horse.
Ace Hardware.
But I actually use some. I use flax every day, too. That was in my diet, actually. It called for flax. It helps keep, you know, it helps keep us from getting sand colic, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a story we have to do.
Why are you grazing?
I have a story we have to do on your last day here before maternity leave, because this is just a classic. I got to do it. This is out of Warren, Rhode Island. And I can't do this without reading it. It's very short. A man leaving a children's pony show got himself into hot water after stopping by a liquor store and bringing his Shetland pony inside. The pony's owner, 51-year-old William Savino, stopped at the liquor store in Warren on Monday to get wine. Surveillance video shows Savino leading the pony through the aisles of the liquor and wine bottles by a leash. At one point on the video, the pony leaves behind a mess when he defecates.
No way!
Savino then refused to clean up the mess. So the owner of the wine store called the police, who found Savino and brought him back to the store and made him clean it up. So get this, this is the end of the story. Savino tells WJAR that a sign on the outside of the store said no dogs or cats allowed, so he thought his pony was fine. He said the sign should include no horses if they don't want horses in the liquor store.
Oh, my gosh. So did they change the sign? Is it official now?
I don't know, but I can't wait till the video comes out. You know it's going to come out.
Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable. You know you're a drunk. You just know you're a drunk when you leave a children's birthday party with a pony in tow and you go into a liquor store. Now, the liquor store owner letting the guy in the first place is a bad idea because, of course, somebody's going to poop.
Well, you know what, though? You're probably in disbelief. It's probably the little $10 an hour clerk that's, 21 years old, sit behind the counter, and he's looking, and he's probably in, wouldn't you be in total disbelief for a while until it really sunk in?
And I would almost, if I didn't own the store and I was just a $10 an hour clerk, or $5 an hour clerk or whatever, I would almost let it happen just to see where this was going to go. A pony amongst liquor bottles is just an accident waiting to happen. And at some point it's going to erupt into something entertaining where the news will be at your liquor store. And there you go.
Yeah. They've gotten more publicity now than they've ever gotten at this liquor store in Warren, Rhode Island. So just, I thought we'd end. We have to end on that. I mean, just
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Thank you very much.
I saw that story today, and it was like, oh my God, we have to finish the show with that story.
Well done.
Good luck. Keep I know you'll keep us informed, and we'll keep the audience informed of what the progress is here over the next week. I guess they have a pool going at the base where Chad works, right?
Yes, apparently somebody predicted yesterday at 8 p.m., so they're off the mark. There is a fighter pilot pool going on as to when Chad's wife will call it full. they don't call it that. But good times. Well, I just wanted it over with.
Jennifer and I are giving you a great big hug, and the whole audience is too, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon, and we will definitely keep the audience. And we'll post a picture as soon as we have it.
Thanks.
What was the name again?
I appreciate it. His name is Lucas William Jennings.
Lucas.
Call him Luke.
Luke. Okay, cool. Very good. Well, congratulations, Jamie. I'm going to say that ahead of time because I know everything's going to go well.
Oh, thank you. I'm terrified and scared to death. I'm just ready to not be pregnant anymore. So I'm really excited about it. And I love you guys and I'll miss you. And Facebook me. I do that all the time. So appreciate it. Big hugs.
All right. Very good. We're going to miss you, Jamie. Take care. Say it.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Glenn. Love you guys.
Spay, neuter, geld. You want to say that one last time?
I'm Husbander. Spay, neuter, and geld. I almost forgot.
Your husband's.